Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Bring in our good friend Donnie Collins from Scranton. Donnie, how are you today? Great to have you with us.
Doing well, Steve. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much. Okay, so I will start defensively. Because there's the obvious, the five takeaways, but there's also something else in play. This is now the 11th consecutive game, which is the longest streak in the country, of six tackles for losses or better in a game. Through three games, what are you seeing with this defense?
Well, they can make big plays, and that's pretty much what we all kind of thought, I think, coming into the season, that you know, they're not... They're not the biggest up front. They're not small by any means, but they're not the biggest team up front, and that was a lot made of that last year. But they are quick off the edge. They have aggressive linebackers. They have cornerbacks who could cover. Their safeties, I think, have been underrated this year. I think Reed and Winston have been terrific so far, especially so on Saturday. And when you have that combination of, you know, you're not going to be able to get the ball away quickly. You're not going to be able to, you're not running the ball as well because you have to hit the edges on them. I think they could have had a few more tackles for Ohio State against Illinois. They missed a few, especially early in the game, or else that could have been a really dominant statistical defensive effort against the run. But I think that's really what it is. I think they have a lot of big play guys. Carter and Jacobs are big play guys. They make a lot of plays in the backfield. The two, whoever's out at defensive end, any of those top three guys are big play guys, and they're making a lot of plays. And really, I think that's been a big story of all three games. Is, you know, they've been able to, opponents have been able to run at times against these guys, but they're being able enough to put guys back in second and 13s and third and nines, where it makes it very difficult. Once you have to challenge those cornerbacks to be able to do it in third and long.
How do you feel about the addition now, Kazai Izzard up front with Amin Vanover and the return of Daquan Hardy? What do they mean, in your opinion, to this defense moving forward?
Well, I think the biggest of those three is Izzard. I like his game. I think he's missed some time the last couple of years. But when he's in, he's a difference maker. I thought, you know, in 21, he showed a lot of promise when he goes in and pretty much plays for P.J. Mustafa there after he gets hurt. And then last year, I thought he, toward the end of the year, was making a lot of plays in the backfield. And for him to come back, he gets two sacks, and everyone's going to look at the sack. But I thought he did a great job against the run. Illinois loves to double-team those tackles. That's really where they make their money on defense. Or on offense, they get bodies on defensive tackles. That's how they try to run the ball. And you know, I thought Izzard really did a good job, kind of occupying blockers and not giving up enough room. I thought he was really the best of the defensive tackles in the game Saturday. So he I think is a big, kind of an underrated but a big addition back. But you know, Hardy allowed them to play the kind of defense they like to play and that they're comfortable with. And you know, he's one of those guys. It's, you know, him, DeLuke is another one. Ball finds them, and it's not an accident. You know, they're not lucky. They're not getting challenged a ton and making an occasional play. They're guys who know how to make a play on the ball. They anticipate the ball coming at them, and they make plays. His interception was a huge play in that game too. And Vanover is he's another guy off that edge who could really go after the quarterback. And you know, he had a big hit in that game. I don't think it ended up in the stat sheet, but he had a big hit on Altmyer that I thought really knocked him kind of into a state of, knocked him out of his rhythm, let's put it that way. So I think all three of those guys coming back is one thing, but you saw the impact all three of them can make too in the Illinois game.
So then offensively, how did you view the offense's day out there?
I guess I'm in the minority here. I didn't think it was all that terrible. You know, I think with Aller, you're going to look at the numbers. You always look at the numbers. It's a fantasy football world we live in now, and you know, he's not going to win anybody a game with 204 yards, no touchdowns. But I thought he managed the game well, and he made the one throw he had to make in the with 1 minute left there at the end of the half. You really need to go in with some points there. You get the ball back, and you're only up a score. That field goal at the end of the half puts them up two scores. It's a humongous play, and he makes an absolutely unreal throw to Liam Clifford to move the sticks. But I thought Illinois had the game plan that I think it was a smart game plan against them. They tried to rush him a little bit. They especially early on played a lot of one-on-one coverage on the outside, and they challenged those receivers to beat them. And they challenged an under pressure sophomore quarterback in his first start on the road to beat them. And they didn't do it early on. They made some adjustments and the offense got a little better. But I think that's what teams are going to try to do if they can moving forward. But the big thing with Aller is he makes the big play. He's all season he's made the accurate throw downfield, and they've been missing that. They needed that, and he makes it in a big spot there. And he's not turning the ball over, as James said. I mean, he's 140 some passes into his career now with no interceptions. So I think that's a huge thing for this offense. And to in a game where you force five turnovers on defense and don't turn the ball over, you should win 30-13. I mean, that's kind of obvious, but I think that they got things going as the game went along. And let's not forget, that's easily the best defense they've played. I mean, Newton and Randolph are really good players. The other linebacker there, I forget his name, but he had a lot of big plays, 19. And yeah, he's a good player. They have some good players on that defense. So I think that in a challenging situation, I think their young players stood up well. Now, do they have to be better on offense? Yes, but it's game number three. If that's as good as they're going to get anyway, they weren't going to have the kind of season that fans want them to have, regardless. So this is a team that's going to keep getting better, and they needed a challenge like that to kind of get themselves ready for an Iowa defense that's going to be just as good, if not better.
Unknown stat of the game. I'm not sure many fans know this one, and that is Nicholas Singleton had 140 all-purpose yards in the game. If you're just looking at the rushing part, you're probably taken aback, like, you had 140. But the setup, the field goal at the end of the half, and the pass play of 33 yards to Liam Clifford from Drew, it started with a kickoff return by Singleton. And he also had three catches for a career-high 49 yards out of the backfield. What does that element of Nicholas Singleton in the pass game mean for this offense moving forward?
It's huge because, number one, the more ways you can get that kid the ball, the better. Number two, the more ways that the defense has to defend him, the better. I mean, it's one thing to give him the ball 25 times on handoffs and pitches and let him go, but to be able to work him in different ways. And I think that's one thing Penn State's done really well this year on offense. They've done a lot of things really well on offense, but that's one thing that they've done very well. I mean, I think each of the running backs have made big plays at times in the first 3 weeks out of the backfield in the passing game. For Singleton to lead he was the leading receiver in the game for Penn State. So that tells you, number one, that he could do it, and number two, what kind of a big play threat he could be out of there. But he had some big catches, and he's going to break a kickoff return soon. You could kind of sense when that's coming. I think a little bit when you watch very closely and do it twice a week, and you're watching a lot of football. You could see when a kickoff return is about ready to go. And I think in some ways Nick is caught in between a little bit, between trying to get the yardage that's available and go for the big play. But he figured that out last year. He's going to figure it out this year. And this year, even caught in between, he's been a fantastic back. He's averaged, his average is where you want it to be. But those big plays are going to come for him. I think he's going to be a big reason this offense gets a lot better. But yeah, if he can add that threat out of the backfield as a receiver, the sky's the limit for him.
James Franklin wants a smart, disciplined football team. They had seven penalties in the game, a couple at inopportune moments, including one on offense that took away a first down. We saw Boston College commit 18 penalties and lose by two. We saw Colorado State commit 17 penalties and lose in double overtime. Saw Tennessee double-digit penalties and lose at Florida. Penn State committed 7 on Saturday, and they're going up against a team this Saturday that averages 3 penalties per game, Donnie, and only 17.5 yards per game in penalties. What about the part about the smart, disciplined football team? Because I know that for James, that has from day one always been a point of emphasis.
Yeah, and this is 2 weeks in a row now he's mentioned after the game and talked about, you know, in the press conference afterwards. I'm assuming he's going to address it again tomorrow, just a hunch. But, you know, just how penalties, you know, you want to win the penalty battle. And like I said this on my podcast last week after about the penalties. You know, it's really, I don't mind losing the penalty battle every once in a while because it shows you're being aggressive. It shows what I don't think you can abide is undisciplined penalties. You know, and I don't think there were undisciplined penalties against Delaware, but this one was out of hand. I mean, you have two veteran guys picking up unsportsmanlike fouls, and the Lambert Smith penalty. You know, that's it's uncalled for because you go from a 3rd and 2 where you're driving in, you're up 13, you're probably going to, you know, you're probably getting some points out of that drive. You're in great shape to really make that drive be the one that puts your opponent away. And then you got a 3rd and 17 and you have Falcons trying a 52-yard field goal, which is, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he could hit it, but it's no guarantee. You've gone from gimme points to nothing, and it didn't look good. And you know, I get it if it's freshman guys doing that, but you have you know, it's Ellie's and Lambert Smith are veteran guys, so I think James is going to be furious with that. And behind the scenes, that's going to be a big issue this week for the players. But certainly, Iowa, you can't beat Iowa. You know, if you have 7-8 penalties and they have 1 or 2, and that's really the way Iowa plays. Iowa is never the most talented team on the field, hardly ever the most talented team on the field, but they're always the most disciplined. They always do everything right to put themselves in a position to not lose the game, and then they're there at the end. If they play like that against Iowa, they're in a little bit of trouble this weekend. I whiteout. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's home. I don't care if it's a whiteout. You play that undisciplined, you're going to be in trouble in football. And I think, you know, I think Franklin will make that known this week. And because you're right. I mean, there's a reason he likes smart, disciplined football, because it's because it wins games. Yes. It certainly doesn't lose your games.
Right. Exactly. So your view on Iowa and the game on Saturday night, how do you see it?
I think Penn State will be very emotional, which, like, kind of dating back to what I just said, that may be a little concerning this week. I don't know, because especially after the 21 game, I don't necessarily believe that the teams don't look back, or you know, especially when things like what happened out there happen. I think they'll remember that and use it kind of as some motivation. But man for man, Penn State's a better team. Now, are they going to be willing to do what it takes to be the better team and to put Iowa away early? I don't know. That to me is what we'll have to see. But I would find it, even with McNamara, as a quarterback I like, but Penn State's played well against McNamara in the past. So we'll see if he could be a difference maker in that offense for them. He certainly has been so far, because they've been pretty good. But it's going to come down to the question I always have with everybody in the conference except for Michigan and Ohio State, which is, can they score with Penn State? I'm not sure. Because you look back at Illinois, for all the offensive problems they had 30 points. They figure out a way to score. And they you know, you talked about streaks earlier. I think that's, 9 or 10 games in a row now that they've scored 30, which is also 10. The longest streak in the country? 10, yeah.
10.
That's an
10,
impressive
and it
streak.
It is the longest, 10.
Yeah, so I would assume if you're Iowa, you have to think you're going to have to score 30, and or you're at least going to have to score 25, 26 if you have a good defensive effort out there. So yeah, we'll see. I don't think Iowa's so strong defensively that Penn State's not going to move the ball this week. I think that last week is really going to help them. I don't think it's a fluke that they're not turning the ball over. I think that's kind of part of Aller's game and a benefit to having him back there. I mean, eventually they will turn it over, but it's not going to turn it over enough to make a tremendous difference. I don't know if Iowa could outscore or run with Penn State in a game where the offense is going to score, you know, 24, 27, 30 points, whatever, even against a good defense, and Penn State's defense is coming off. It's a game where you would think they can handle the Iowa offense.
Donnie, always a pleasure. It's just always fun talking with you, and thanks so much for the great insight you always give us.
Same to you, Steve. Thanks.